TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand. It's Raised by Wolves.
Hello, welcome in. Raised by Wolves, talking about a basketball team that just has not been very good as of late. But today we've got a friend joining us. John Dickinson covers the Golden State Warriors out at 95.7 The Game in the Bay Area to talk about another basketball team that is not doing very good. John, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing well, yeah. Boy, how things have changed from some of our conversations in the past where we're used to, you know, having dinner and drinks and talking about NBA championship basketball. It feels like previous lives for both of us right now.
Yeah, and for the history, obviously, I used to work in Cleveland. I used to cover the Cavaliers, and John has covered the Warriors for quite some time. So we kind of had like a standing dinner date every June. In Cleveland, we would hang out, we'd go get tacos and margaritas or whatever. And now neither of us are going to be covering basketball games in June. It'll be a couple seasons in a row for me now, but it's going to be drastically different for you this summer, my friend. Let me tell you, it will be different.
Yeah, it is going to be different, and you know, a lot more focus on the draft and the lottery and you know, free agency, which was obviously something that the Warriors had really, you know, been heavy involved with the last few years, both in obtaining players like Kevin Durant and then losing Kevin Durant and being able to use his departure as a means to acquire, at the very least, a trade asset in D'Angelo Russell. I have a feeling D'Angelo Russell is somebody that we may be talking about going both ways here
at
different times in the next year.
Sure. Let's go there. Let's open up with D'Angelo Russell because he is one of the hottest names here in the Twin Cities. I don't know what is going to happen with him out in Golden State. That's why I've got you on. I don't know what he's going to be. Is he going to be someone that they're going to look to move on from sooner rather than later? Or do you get the sense that they're at least going to want to see what it looks like when Steph Curry is healthy, when Klay Thompson is healthy, when Draymond Green can be at his best again? Or what's going to happen in that situation, do you think?
I think they'd like to see that, but the timeline for this season may prevent that completely from happening. With Stephen Curry out likely until at least March, with Klay Thompson out likely until at least April, and maybe even for the entire season. However, I'll say, if you said, do you think D'Angelo Russell's a member of the Golden State Warriors in mid-October next year when the 2020-2021 season starts? I would say absolutely not. I think he winds up somewhere else as part of either a combination of, you know, him and whatever the Warriors' first-round pick winds up becoming, or him going separately with them keeping the pick. I think there are a number of different scenarios. But all add up to D'Angelo Russell, in my estimation, not being a member of the Warriors. This thing has completely gone awry, obviously, due to the multitude of injuries. But I think because of that, because it's gotten so bad, as much as the Warriors have tried to, you know, preach patience and say, hey, look, you know, getting back to a sixth straight NBA Finals was something that likely wasn't going to happen anyway. I think that the taste has gotten so bad, Danny, in everyone's mouth, that they're going to want to do whatever they can to get as close as they can back to the top as quickly as possible. And I think that will ultimately lead them to sending D'Angelo Russell elsewhere in an attempt to add pieces that can play with Stephen Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green and maybe get him back into the prospect of being a championship contending team again.
I think it'll be very interesting to figure out whether or not they can be a championship contending team again, because yes, Klay Thompson was probably never going to be part of realistic plans this year after tearing his ACL in June. But even prior to Steph breaking his hand when Aaron Baines fell on him earlier this year, they didn't look good. They didn't look like a team that could make a run at any point. Obviously, Steph is still one of the best players in the NBA, but they didn't have that look that they've always had before. And I'm just curious what the missing pieces there are, because if they do move D'Angelo Russell and want to be a contending team again, there are several areas where they just have to get better.
Yeah, they do. And look, it's fair to say, hey, maybe that three, and I think that's some of the debate that we're having out here on the West Coast. You know, do the Warriors, to get back to that contending level, have to go out and acquire a player that, let's say, is better than one of those three players, meaning either Curry Thompson or Draymond Green? Do they, in essence, have to get a legitimate fourth star? Now, I know D'Angelo Russell was an all-star last year, but he's not on the level of where the other three have been these last few years. And there's some out here that even believe, hey, look, if you're counting on that core of three to guide you, you know, by the time the playoffs in 2021 come around, it will be 6 years, you know, since the last time that core three had actually been able to lead a team to winning a championship in 2015. So it's fair. I mean, they, while still at the back end of their primes, are not, you know, 25, 26-year-old players anymore when they're going to be trying to do that. So I think you could make a case that it is going to be more difficult, but I think that's all the more reason why I think the Warriors will look to trade D'Angelo Russell. I think it's also part of the reason why you won't see them look to trade D'Angelo Russell quickly. I think the Warriors know and believe, Danny, that they're going to have to find – they've got one shot basically to get it right, and the moves that they make can set themselves up maybe to get back closer to that point, but they're going to have to really hit at the right time. And I think, you know, waiting to see what their draft pick actually is it the number one pick, is it the number five pick, is it the number eight pick, you know, and then coupling that with D'Angelo Russell and just seeing who out there becomes available in making sure you can try and get as much talent coming back as you possibly can. I don't think you do that if you start looking to move him, let's say, in the next 6 weeks to 2 months here when you get up to that trade deadline and the All-Star break.
Do you think they would ever consider moving Draymond Green as well? Because if there is one of those three core pieces that have been around forever, Draymond's game's going to age the worst. He's been beat up for who knows how long physically, just with the way he plays and how long he's been doing this. Do you think that they would consider moving on from him and trying to find his replacement at some point?
I think they would. I don't think that it would be their first choice. I think the first choice is, let's see how good you can be with the three and let's see how much you can add. Now, if you get to a point where maybe you bring in, let's say, a couple of players in a D'Angelo Russell trade, maybe you bring in a draft pick, maybe you sign another, you know, mid-level exception kind of a player, and you get everybody on the court next fall, and it really looks like Draymond Green is starting to decline, but not to the point where you still couldn't get anything for him. I think at that point, maybe they would look to move on from Draymond Green. But right now, I still think they believe, while he may not be as capable of dominance as he's been in the past, I still think they view him as a key glue piece and cog. I just think they believe they're going to have to, you know, add more talent in other areas, you know, in addition to him and Steph and Clay to be able to, you know, cover some of the offset, let's say, of the natural decline of their games. And look, you know, the biggest spot on the roster where the Warriors are the most thin right now is the small forward spot. I mean, they went from maybe having the best small forward, you know, in the game, best small forward in the game, outside of LeBron James and Kevin Durant, and then you were playing Andre Iguodala either with him or instead of him. So they went from having, you know, maybe being the best team at that position to one of the worst teams at that position, with really only Glenn Robinson III, who's been a journeyman, albeit he's played pretty well for the Warriors this year, but he's the only guy that even remotely sniffs being a small forward just in terms of body type on the entire roster. So they've gone from maybe number one at that spot to number 30, and I still think they would rather use what, you know, means they have to try and acquire other players to find pieces that fit than to maybe move on and create another hole at another position.
So you bring up Glenn Robinson III, and he's someone that's logged a ton of minutes for them this year. Is there anyone on the team right now other than the core pieces that we know that have established themselves that could be part of the future in Golden State? What do they think of a guy like Eric Pascal? What do they think of a guy like Kai Bowman, who at some point is going to run out of days on his two-way contract and they have to figure out some way to keep him as part of the roster? Just what do they think of these other guys that have really had to take an opportunity that no one thought would be available and try and run with it?
Yeah, Eric Pascal, the second-round pick, he's been just tremendous. I mean, he almost in some ways is like a Draymond Jr., right? A four-year guy in college, played at a high level at Villanova, and just he seems to fit. And he's had more of an offensive game than I think anybody could have imagined possible. He's really strong. He's good at one-on-one. It really just kind of, bulling his way to the basket. Needs to improve his three-point shot. He's pretty good defensively. I think they're tinkering around with whether or not he can guard small forwards or whether or not he just has to be kind of an undersized power forward the way Draymond Green has been, although Draymond Green could guard anybody, obviously, as anybody that's watched the Warriors the last few years knows. So I don't think the versatility necessarily is there to that level defensively. But he's somebody that the Warriors are already penciling in as a rotation piece for next year. Somebody that's going to play 20 to 25 minutes next year on a team that is either a 45-win team or much better than, let's say, a 45-win team. He's really the only one, I would say, that is guaranteed to be in the top eight, I would say, among the other ancillary pieces, the non-brand name players, if you will. Now, Kai Bowman's been tremendous. They sent him down to the G League because, like you said, he's about to run out of his 45 days of time. He's got about 12 or 13 left that he can be up with the Warriors. They're going to have to figure out something for him. But he went down to Santa Cruz here in the G League, and he's averaged close to a triple-double since they sent him down. So they said, hey, they work on being a point guard, move the ball, don't look to score too much. And then he's basically averaging a triple-double since he's been down there. So he's somebody that I would almost file away as, and I would put Glenn Robinson in this category. I would put Alec Burks, although I think Alec Burks is somebody that the Warriors would probably look to trade at the deadline, see if they can maybe get a second-round pick for him. A team that needs a little bench scoring, playoff team. But I would put all of those guys, Marquese Chriss, who was the eighth pick in the draft going back to 2016, but had been kind of a bust with Phoenix and then went on to Houston and was in Cleveland for a bit. He's flashed, and I think he's somebody that's on a non-guaranteed deal, but they're intrigued by his athleticism. They're intrigued by his ability to actually move the ball. He's kind of an intelligent, sees the game kind of a passer, which is something I don't think anybody really foresaw. So that there are players like that, Danny, but I almost put them in the 11 to 15 range. Like, those guys are fighting for 11 to 15 spots on this roster, or 9 to 13 spots on this roster. I still think, even if a couple of those guys stick, Pascal's the only one, along with the three headliners and maybe a Kevon Looney, that are locks. And then it's going to be a matter of your draft pick, what happens with D'Angelo Russell or who you acquire for D'Angelo Russell. And then the Warriors also have a trade exception worth up to about $17 million from the Iguodala trade to Memphis, to where they can take on a player or two after the league year flips and they're no longer a hard cap team come July. They've got about a day of official business to be able to execute that. But that's another means to acquire a player or a couple of players. So the Warriors really are set up to have 5, 6, 7 different players on the roster and still have Curry and Thompson and Green and still maybe have 2 or 3 of those guys that we're mentioning almost as back end of the roster type. So there really is potential for this team to flip it pretty quick and be pretty talented and be much deeper than they were at the end of the Kevin Durant era.
How frustrating has this season been for the organization as a whole? And furthermore, even Steve Kerr, who this is an organization that had become pretty quickly accustomed to excellence. I know that once upon a time there was that quote from, I believe it was Joe Lacob in the New York Times, that said they were light years ahead of everybody, and this certainly was not part of being light years ahead of anyone, I don't think, this year. But what's this year been like frustration-wise inside the Chase Center?
Yeah, they've actually handled it pretty well, believe it or not. I mean, Steve is, very early from the moment Stephen Curry got hurt, preached development. He's been frustrated with the results because, as happens with a lot of bad teams, they tend to fight harder when they're playing against better teams, and they play their better games against better teams when they don't have a chance to win those games. And then the efforts don't translate into, nights where you're playing opponents that are more similar to them record-wise. So I think there's this belief that based on the way they've played in some games, that they're going to play better in other games. And that just hasn't happened, which I think has created maybe a little bit more disappointment than anything, just because there's this belief that the guys that they have worked really hard. They just aren't good enough. I mean, honestly, Danny, there isn't a night where you watch this team play where you say, boy, they're more talented than their opponent. Like, not a single night. I mean, and you'd think there are nights where that would be the case, but then you even look at, a team like the Knicks, who came into Chase Center and beat the Warriors about a week and a half ago. And they have more talent.
That was a thrilling game, John. That was a thrilling 124-122 win for the Knickerbockers.
Yeah, and I mean, just, but they, whether it's Barrett, whether it's Marcus Morris, I mean, you look at the talent, even on a team like the Knicks, and you're saying, wow, Julius Randle, the Warriors don't have anybody, as talented as those three guys, with maybe the exception of Russell. And there's, the other thing with Russell, just to go back to him, is that, there's almost been three stages of Russell, this year. That first little stretch where he played with Curry, which didn't look good, and then he got his hand banged up and missed a couple of games, and then came back and went for the 52-point game against the Timberwolves and had a couple other 30-point games. And he was really ball dominant, and they were kind of just letting him go. All right, D'Angelo, you're the best player on the team. You're the best offensive player of the team. Do what you need to do to get yours, and everybody else will fall in line. And they were competitive for a handful of games doing that, and he looked good. Then he got hurt again and came back. And after he got hurt and came back again, it really seemed like the Warriors were going out of their way to try and get him to fit into their system, almost using the games as like practices to get him to work into their ball movement type of an offense. And it really hadn't clicked for a handful of games, kind of like it didn't really click the first handful of games. And then last night they played in Portland, and it was YOLO, D'Lo. Again, take as many shots as you want, and he actually wound up, playing, pretty well, scored 25 points, and they wound up having one of their more competitive losses in the last couple of weeks. So I think they're still struggling with that fine line of how does D'Angelo Russell, fit in the grand scheme of things.
Are they going to be the worst team in the history of the NBA to play on Christmas Day? Or is there a bad Knicks team that holds that title? Because I can't think of a team that's been as bad as this one that gets a Christmas Day game.
Yeah, and this is where, my knowledge of the trivial sometimes can come into play. I want to say there was, and I'd have to look this up, and I haven't done it yet because, gosh, there's a few, the Warriors have a few games even before the Christmas game, so I haven't fully gotten into a lot of the details on that yet.
Oh, get excited. You might get a 6 consecutive loss Warriors against a 10 consecutive loss Wolves game on Monday, John. That's a possibility.
Yeah, and they're playing a couple of times. I know that's what the first game after the new year, too, up in Minnesota. But, I want to say there was maybe a 4 win Phoenix Suns team in the mid 90s that really struggled and wound up playing on Christmas. It was a year where they had a ton of injuries. I want to say it was either the year they traded Charles Barkley to the Rockets, or it was some year where I think they wound up playing maybe the Lakers. And it was the first year maybe that Shaq was on the Lakers. So like in that 97 range, 96, 97 range, where there was a Phoenix Suns team that maybe had 3 or 4 wins on Christmas, but wound up playing the Lakers because they thought they were going to be pretty good. I'll have to look that one up. But yeah, this is going to be pretty bad. And you've already seen, you get the emails from the NBA, Danny. I mean, the Warriors have already had, I want to say, 5, maybe even 6 nationally televised games that are eligible to be flexed, flexed out of.
One of them resulted in a nice 8:30 tip off here between the Clippers and the Wolves last Friday.
Yeah, that was one where the Warriors were in Salt Lake City. That game was supposed to be a game that was nationally televised. The game in Portland last night was supposed to be nationally televised. The Warriors play the Pelicans tomorrow night in San Francisco, and that game was originally supposed to be an ESPN game with Zion Williamson playing against the Warriors. Obviously, that's not going to happen now. They pulled that game and added another game to the mix, and there's just going to be so many more. I know some of them, like Christmas, obviously are locked in, but a lot of them can be flexed out of, and we're already seeing, especially those ESPN games, the Warriors are basically losing every single one of them right now, which makes sense. I mean, and honestly, I think if you told, the Warriors at this point, given how bad things have gotten, I think they're probably happy with that too. No need to be the butt of jokes, on a night in, night out basis based on who they're actually trotting out there right now.
John, thanks so much for doing this. Really appreciate it. Again, enjoy the month of May and the month of June. Covering the lottery will be a fun experience. Covering the draft will be a fun experience, but I promise it won't be as stressful as the finals.
All right. Thanks, Danny. Appreciate it, man. And yeah, we'll have to catch up again. I don't think it's going to be before the deadline, but I do think the Warriors and the Wolves, there is some potential for a deal down the line, whether it's involving, Russell and let's say maybe a Covington and others, or even if it's a guy like Wiggins. I think he may intrigue the Warriors as well at some point down the line.
We shall see, but I'm sure we will be in touch again soon, John.
Thanks, Danny.
That's John Dickinson. You can find him on Twitter at JD John Dickinson. He covers the Warriors for 95.7 The Game out in the Bay Area. Always great stuff with him. Really appreciate him coming on the podcast. You can find the podcast on Google Play, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your listening stuff. You can find us there, or you can find it on the all-new Score North mobile app available for Apple and Android devices. Completely free. Be sure to download that where you can check out all of our podcasts. You can listen live, win great rewards, and find all of our written work that's also available at ScoreNorth.com. You can find me on Twitter at RealDCunningham, and John, as I said, can be found on Twitter at JD John Dickinson. Really appreciate him coming aboard. We will talk to you next week.